Thank you for listening to this sermon from Axe Christian Church. We hope you are blessed by the following message.
I want to share with you on a message entitled The Battle Between Love and Fear. In the book of John, chapter number 15, verses 13, in the New King James, it says, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." The writer is writing to his audience, wherein he says that love that Jesus shed on the cross, the love that Jesus gave to us when he gave his life, speaking of sacrificial love, there was and there is no love greater than that which Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary when he laid down his life for us whom he called his friends. None of us can outlove God. Am I right? God loved us because we know John 3:16 very well. We learned it all these years. We've quoted it. For God so loved the world that he gave. You see, the kind of love that God has for us is a giving kind of love. Because God first loved, and when he loved, he was able to give, because love cannot love without giving. Am I right? That's the reason why we give, because giving comes from a place of love. It comes from a place of trust, and it comes from a place of faith. So we cannot truly give unless it comes from a place of true love, because God so loved, and then the actions that came out of his emotion love was giving his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. His love had nothing that he desired in response from us. What he says is, I'm giving you love, but all I expect from you is for you to love me back. You don't need to do anything to earn my love. I'm giving you this love. I'm giving you my son. Why? Because I want to reconcile you back to me. Love has got no hidden agendas. Love is unconditional. When we truly love somebody, we don't say, I love you, but if you will do this for me, and you'll do this for me, and you'll do that for me, then I will express my love to you. Is that how we love? No. Love says, I love you, expecting nothing in return. Doesn't mean that we should not expect or not, be open to receive love, because we need to be open to receive love, because the love of God is being poured out to every one of us. But in our relationships, God desires that we love, even though sometimes our partners might not return the love. Doesn't mean we stop loving. We love. So what is love? We may have heard songs about love, read poems about love, read romantic novels about love, watch movies about what we think love is about. But love defined is a feeling of affection. When we love, we adore, we worship. That's the reason why when we come before the presence of God, we worship first, because we want to express our love and admiration for the great I am. To love is to worship, it's to adore, it's to be devoted to, it's to have feelings of caring for. When we love our children, we care for them. It's a feeling of fondness, tenderness, endearment, and feelings of warmth. John 3:16 is all about the expression of love. Father God, who loved us so much that he was willing to give us his son Jesus to die on the cross, sacrificial love, so that we might be redeemed back to him. Last week, the apostle shared from Romans chapter number 12, verses 9 to 21, and that's why I felt so compelled to share a little bit on that this week, because he spoke about sacrificial love, which I believed is what true love is all about. Amen? And I'm going to go through that very quickly. I'm not going to reteach what he taught, but I just want to go through that just to recap for those that have not been here. And Paul is writing to the Roman church, and he says in verse 9, "Let love be without hypocrisy." He says, let love be not pretentious. Let your love not be hypocritical, meaning don't say something and not mean something. It's easy for us sometimes in our relationships to use the terms loosely, I love you, but in your heart there's anger and bitterness and unforgiveness. So he's saying, let love be without hypocrisy. Don't let your love be pretentious. Don't let your love be fake. And then he goes on to say, abhor, meaning despise, hate that which is evil. So what is love according to Romans chapter number 12? Love is not hypocritical. Love is not pretentious. Love despises evil and evil speaking, or when people speak against another person, you despise them. Then it says, cling to what is good. Love says, I want to hold on to the good things in life. I want to hold on to what brings value to my life. I want to hold on to the people that matter most. Cling to that which is good. And then it says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, which is a form of love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Love sees the benefit in the other individual. It gives favor to the other person. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. You see, when we offer our service to the kingdom, we are expressing a form of love to God and to the people that we serve. Love is rejoicing in hope. It's patient in tribulation. It continuing steadfastly in prayer. When you love God, you pray. You have a prayer life. You want to have a relationship with this God who was willing to give us his son to die for us. That we want to have conversations with him on a daily basis. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. When you love God and you love one another, it shouldn't be a pain for us to want to sow seeds and to bless the community and reach out to acts of love and do all these wonderful kind things. Love is about blessing those who persecute us. Love isn't only about loving those that we want to love or appear good to us. Love says, love those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Love says, rejoice with those who rejoice in verse 15. And weep with those who weep, those who are mourning, those who are broken down, those that are downcast, those that are hurting. Weep with them. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinions. Repay no one evil for evil. That's what love is all about, is not being revengeful. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. And if it is possible, as much depends on you, live peaceably with all men. You see, where there's discontentment, where there's fighting, where there's aggression, where there's bitterness, there is no love. Because love desires that we live in peace. An environment where there's no peace, there is no love. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, because wrath comes only from God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. You see, when people do wrong things against us, do not seek to pay back. Do not seek to avenge. Commit them to God. And in verse 20, it says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on your head. The greatest revenge that you can give to your enemy is to love them and do good to them. How many of us are going to take revenge on our enemies today? By doing good to them. Amen. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So the writer is speaking about the kind of love that we are most familiar with. We hear about this in the Greek, and it's called agape love. It speaks about sacrificial love. It means loving even when you don't feel like. You see, that's true love. It's going against what we feel sometimes. It's going along with what we feel is the right thing to do, because this is the kind of love that God gave to us. The kind of love that Jesus sacrificed for us on the cross of Calvary. And then there's the phileo kind of love, which we speak about, is the brotherly love. The love that we express to one another when we shake each other's hands in church, we give them a hug, and we say, I love you, my brother. And that's the kind of love that God desires from us. The kind of love that we share to the people out who don't know Jesus when we teach them salvation and we point them to the cross. John chapter number 21, verses 15 to 7, the Bible says that when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." You see, when Jesus questioned Simon Peter, Simon must have spent lots of time with Jesus and they must have had a strong bond, and he understood what it is to have phileo love. And therefore, when Jesus asked him the question, he was able to answer without doubt in his mind, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. I love you as a brother." And then Jesus went on to say to him a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And it seems like Jesus was going deeper here. And Simon said to him, "Lord, you know that I love you." And I'm sure he must have said this a second time, starting to feel, "But Jesus, you asked me this question, and you know I love you." And Jesus says, "Tend my sheep." And for the third time in verse 17, Jesus says, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And this time Peter was grieved within himself because Jesus had asked him the same question three times already. "Do you love me?" And he responded by saying, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." You see, the reason why Jesus questioned Peter three times concerning the love that Peter had for him is because Jesus wanted Peter to evolve from a place of brotherly love to a place of sacrificial love. You see, we can love our fellow brothers and sisters, and sometimes our love keeps us in a certain place where we can only do certain things based on this kind of love. But you see, sacrificial love says, "There is nothing that stops me from laying down my life for you." And this is the kind of love that God wants us to move to, from a place of saying, "I just love you, Lord. I just love you, Lord," to a place where we are saying, "Father, I love you so much that I'm willing to go and speak to everyone out there that will hear your voice. I love you to the point where I'm willing to face rejection. I love you to the point where if somebody comes up against me and swears at me and calls me name, I'm willing to sacrifice my pride just to love on you and share the message of Christ. I'm willing to take abuse. I'm willing to allow whatever to come upon me because my love for you is so deep that I don't care what the world does. I'm willing to lay down my life for you." Am I speaking to somebody here today? You see, there is an enemy, and he's called fear. And this enemy called fear wants to keep us in a place of bondage. But the Bible says perfect love casts out fear. When we understand what perfect love is, and when we've experienced the love of God being poured out for us, there is no room for fear. So Winston Churchill once said, "Fear is a reaction, but courage is a decision." You see, we can react to fear based on our own perception of what we might expect. But when we choose to walk in courage and in boldness and in confidence, we are choosing to say, "Even though there might be fear prevailing in the situation, my results are not going to give in to the fear. I'm going to change the course of circumstances. I'm going to stand up with confidence, and I'm going to choose how I want to feel and behave in the situation." Fear is a reaction, but courage is a decision. You decide today, in the face of fear, what you need to see come out of your circumstances and your situation. 1 John chapter number 4, verses 18 to 19 says, "There is no fear in love. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment." You see, when we live lives of fear, we are constantly tormented. We are entrapped. But the Bible says, "He who fears has not been made perfect in love." We love him because he first loved us. We cannot truly say that we are born again children of God and accept our faith in Christ if we do not understand love. You see, love is what Christianity is all about. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." And if we have received this gift of love from God, we then need to operate as lovers in Christ. Am I right? So the very basis of our faith is rooted in love. We cannot truly say we are Christians if we have not love. Am I right? Am I making sense this morning? But when love leaves, fear enters in. And when fear enters in, fear controls us. Fear entraps us. Many of us cannot love because we've been wounded, we've been hurt, we've been broken. Maybe we've grown up in an environment where we've never heard our parents say, I love you. Maybe we were raised by foster parents or we were raised by family members and we've never really experienced the true love. Maybe we've watched people around us being loved and appreciated and we've been wanting to hear this and wanting to experience the affirmation that comes with true love, but we've never truly experienced it. So what we do is we go through love with a perception of what love means to us, based on our experiences, based on the trauma of our childhood, based on what we have gone through. See, many of us are walking around and not having truly experienced true love. Many of us find it hard even to listen to what I'm speaking about this morning because when I speak about love, you're saying, Pastor, you don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what love is. I've never truly experienced love. When you talk about loving the Father and the love that the Father has for me, I can't quite comprehend that on a deep level because I have not experienced it. And you might have been victims of situations and circumstances. Maybe you've gone through a relationship where you've been betrayed. Maybe your heart has been broken so many times that you start to believe that this is what love is all about. And like that song, Love Hurts, we start to believe love is all about hurt and pain and brokenness. And we start to fear entering into relationships that might require love. So what we do is we put up walls to protect our feeble hearts so that we might not be able to love. And then we just live our lives pretentiously, thinking this is what the world expects from us. So we give the world what they want, but inside of our hearts, we are feeling unloved, cold, hurt, full of pain. We walk around telling everybody, hey, my brother, I love you. How are you doing? But we walk away not feeling the love inside of us. We start to use the words because it seems correct. Everyone talks about it. We hear it in the movies. We read it in the books. And sometimes we might use the words more and more. But deep down inside of us, we are longing for a sense of love. But fear enters in and fear says to us, you will never be loved. Fear says you were raised in this environment, your parents left you, this person walked out on you, you are not destined to love, you could never experience love, you are not created for love, you are bound to go through life in a loveless environment. I want to say to you today, that is a lie from Satan. God loves you with an everlasting love and he wants to pour out his love into your heart, pressed down, shaken together till it's overflowing. And I believe that God's going to heal some broken hearts here this morning. You see, fear believes in a negative future. When we harbor fear, when we entice fear, when we take fear inside of us, we are choosing to believe what fear says, that we will be alone. Fear believes in a negative future. Fear is rooted in our failure to obtain that which we desire, and we give up for fear of being hurt, like in love. Many fear to embrace love for fear of failing in love because we've messed up so many times, and we think, if I fall in love again, oh, I'm going to be hurt. I'm going to hurt somebody or take them through the process of pain. Or they fear rejection, and we all know what rejection is like. It's a terrible feeling. Fear is a liar. Fear says, I'm a victim, I'm a failure, I'm hopeless, I'm destined to be alone. Fear says, I will fail in my marriage. Fear says, I will fail as a parent. Fear says, I will fail in my job. I'll fail in my business. I'll fail in whatever I put my hands to. Fear enters in by what we see, what we choose to believe, what we accept. Sometimes our negative experiences, sometimes the trauma of life, sometimes what we have gone through, or not even having heard people say, I love you. Fear enters in. I say to you today, church, be careful of who we listen to. Be careful of the inner voice that speaks negativity into our life. Don't allow our influences of the past and what we have gone through, our insecurities and our experiences to dictate the love that God has in store for us. We are meant to realize that true power exists not in looking outside and feeling fear, but looking inside our souls and experiencing love. See, most of us look to people And we feel secure when we feel people love us, then we feel loved. We depend on others to make us feel special or accepted. And when that doesn't happen, we feel we are unloved. When we don't feel the expression of love, we don't hear the expression of love, we start to get hurt. We even have marriages that are falling apart because people feel unloved in their relationships. It's not that love is not being expressed. It's because love is not being read correctly. There are five love languages that we teach about in the marriage and the pre-marriage course. And one of them is words of affirmation. We all give and receive love in different ways. And in some cases, we find that a person whose love language is words of affirmation, which means that they thrive on receiving positive words, words of encouragement, words that lift their spirit. And if they hear that often enough, it makes them feel loved and affirmed and accepted. But if maybe their partner in the marriage does not have the same love language, and their love language might be acts of service, that partner might be expressing love in the only way they know how to, which is serving their partner, making them breakfast in bed, cooking, cleaning, taking care of the household responsibilities. And in their mind, they feel they are giving everything for the sake of love. But the recipient on the end is saying, "You don't love me because you don't tell me you love me. You don't speak nice things into my ears. You don't make me feel good about myself." And we could be misunderstanding each other's love language and feeling unloved in the relationship. There are those who have love languages of gifts. You love receiving gifts and you feel loved when a person gives you a gift. And maybe if you don't receive gifts in your relationship, you feel my partner does not love me. They didn't buy me anything for my birthday. They don't love me. What have I done? And you go through this internal turmoil of feeling unloved. You see, the enemy brings in a sense of fear by saying, "She doesn't love you. She didn't get you anything." But deep down inside, she's saying, "I'm taking you out to the movies tomorrow, and I'm going to spend time with you because my love for you is based on the time that I want to spend with you. Quality time is my love language." And you might go out, watch a movie, walk through the mall, not realizing that she's expressing her love by spending time with you. And you are saying, "Where's the gift? Where's the gift? Where's the gift?" Am I speaking to somebody here today? You see, we misunderstand expressions of love, and then we hold it against our partners, and then we say things, "You don't love me." Why? Because you didn't do this and this and this. You see, sometimes we want to receive love the way we want to receive love, but we reject love the way our partners are expressing it, and we misunderstand each other. How many times we become victims of the enemy where he's planted seeds in our mind, and therefore in our ignorance, we fight in our marriages and in our relationships and we create unnecessary problems. Whereas our partners are expressing love, but we're just not seeing it. May the Lord open our eyes today. May he open up our minds today. May he bring the revelation of his love and may he pour it out that we will start to see things in a whole different dynamic. When we look outside, we have expectations from people to fulfill our sense of love and our acceptance. When people reject us and our affections, we feel unloved, we feel unsafe. Fear tells us that we are unlovable, not capable of love. Fear lies to us. How can we be loved or be worthy of love, fear says. Maybe we didn't feel the love of our parents and we believed that God doesn't love us. Maybe we've been rejected so many times that we feel a sense of unworthiness. Maybe we feel we don't deserve love. How can I be loved? I've messed up so many times. Can anyone even love a person like me? And we develop a sense of self-hatred, that we push people away, that even when people want to express love, we shut them down. We remember the bad relationships, the fallouts, when things went wrong, the hurtful things that people may have said. And then we fear reopening our hearts to receive love because we don't want to feel the pain. So we write ourselves off from the possibility of love. And you're going to learn to love again. And you're going to have healthy relationships. You see, when we have issues regarding acceptance and love, it's going to be very, very hard to experience real love of God being displayed in our lives. The very basis of our faith is rooted in the love that God has for us. It is love that saved us. It is the love of Christ. And I pray that the Lord will just reveal his love to you today, and that his love will bring healing and hope to you. that he will pour out the healing balm of Gilead, that all the past pain and brokenness associated with what you've gone through and the false perceptions of what you thought love to be will be removed and true love will flow again. You see, fear disempowers us and leaves us feeling helpless and hopeless. But the word of God says in Isaiah 41 verses 10, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And God says he is with you. I want you to remember the first time you fell in love. Do you still feel the same way about your partner in your marriage? Remember the first time when you took your baby in your loving arms and embraced him or her. Do you feel the same way about your teenage child right now? Do you remember the day you received Jesus into your heart and all the emotions and how you felt a sense of joy? Do you feel the same way about your love for Christ today as the day that you invited him into your heart? I believe God's going to take you on a journey and he's going to bring back those emotions and he's going to revive the love that you once had. In the Message Bible, Luke chapter number 10, verses 27, it says that you love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and muscle and intelligence, and that you love your neighbor as well as you do yourself. And in Ephesians 5, verses 1 to 2, it says, "Be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ has also loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma." 2 Corinthians 5:14 to 15 says, "For the love of God compels us, the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live shall live no longer for themselves." Sacrifice. In the world that we're living in, learn to realize that we no longer live for ourselves, but we live for the one who died for us. And therefore, we must love as he loves. I conclude with this today. You see, we often find it very hard to love, especially when we have open wounds concerning issues of love. We may have been betrayed by a person who may have accepted our love and our advances and then betrayed us and hurt us. Maybe we go back to our early memories of growing up in an environment where we felt rejected, abandoned by the ones near and dear to us. And that pain is still there. We've never truly experienced the love of a father saying, "I love you," or hugging you or embracing you, or a mother or a brother or sister. Maybe we've shut the door on love because of relationships. Maybe even our relationship with God. Or maybe through loss and death that we've given up on love and we say, "I don't want to love anymore because I've been hurt so many times and I've lost so many people." Maybe we've been cheated on and we've given in to insecurities, negative beliefs, and we've heard people say nasty things that we've started to believe it about ourselves. Right now, I believe God wants to dispel every lie that have kept us in bondage and have kept us in fear, and that every negative perception of love that we've harbored goes in Jesus' name. God wants us to learn to love again. He wants us to experience the joy that comes from loving one another as he has loved us. The love that he has for us that was poured out on Calvary.